Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
How are you, New York City? It's election day if you live in New York. Remember to vote. Primary day, baby. It's also 117 degrees outside. It's also a day in which Yankee fans can complain about their offense doing nothing on the previous evening, and a day for Met fans to lick their wounds yet again. I want to discuss the Mets in a very weather-appropriate way. When you go to the beach, whether it's on Long Island or in New Jersey, before you go to the beach, there are warning flags that are on the beach. You know the warning flags?
Yes, for the riptides or, I don't know, some dangerous conditions out at sea.
Correct. So, like, for example, if there's a green banner, it's low hazard. Mm. It means there are calm conditions. Exercise with caution, but all good. Then you've got the yellow flag that says medium hazard, moderate surf and or currents. And then you got the red one. The red one is high hazard, high surf, strong currents. And then they just close the damn ocean down, and you're not allowed. I'm looking at where we are in Metland, losing 9 out of 10. And I want to be fair in where I am in terms of my hazards as a New York Met fan. Because during the losing streak that they suffered at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays and then the Atlanta Braves and then the opener against the Phillies, I was a low-hazard kind of guy. I was a, hey, it's the ebbs and flows of a baseball season. We got to calm the F down. But last night was the first night where my hazard flag moved up a notch. Mm. Now, am I at red-high hazard? Not yet. Am I shutting the damn ocean down yet? Not yet. But I have to admit, as a Met fan who sat there melting at Citi Field, my hazard flag's been elevated to yellow. Because while, yes, this is the ebbs and flows of a baseball season, I am starting to see things that may not easily be fixed by a hot streak. And so I'm a little worried. And I'm not one, Teak. You've known me now for 2 years as a co-host. I'm not one to scream and yell and get worried after a bad streak. I like to use reason. I like to give thought. But I got to tell you, last night it was right in front of him. Juan Soto hits the big home run to get him back in the game. He comes up in another big opportunity. And even after he strikes out in the eighth inning, you got 4, 5, and 6 of the order again in the ninth inning against Dylan Lee. And they went down meekly. Mm-hmm. In 6 of 9 innings, they went down meekly. They were in that game despite Paul Blackburn struggling in the first few innings. Like, all of that combined together with the fact that this offense has sucked for a week and a half, and I'm not sure it's going to turn around tomorrow, has me raising the hazard flag to a yellow.
Right.
I'm a little concerned.
Well, it's easy to be concerned. And the one thing that made so much sense is finally you see a manager publicly criticize his team. And he talked about Carlos Mendoza, and you rarely see this. You will never see Aaron Boone do this. We have not, at least in his tenure here as the manager. Maybe privately he will chastise someone here or there for whatever it is they're doing. I guess maybe with Glaber we saw it a little bit, and that was just by benching him. But when Carlos Mendoza, speaking to the media, basically tells guys they got to get their heads out of their butts, right? That's that's putting your team on blast. And so if that's what he said publicly, you know that it's a lot more terse internally. And so the only problem with doing that, and I love that he did it, but the only problem with doing it this early in the season, we're not at the All-Star break yet, is what happens if nothing happens?
And right
what
now,
happens if it just stays the same and they don't respond
to you? But, Teak, here's the biggest problem I kind of have with this Met offense, to your point of why it may not turn around.
Yeah.
As much as I want to think it's just a slow stretch, Lindor, Nimmo, Soto, and Alonso are fine. Now, I know Pete has struggled over this 10-game stretch. He has.
Yep.
He was due to struggle because since he got off to a great start. But it's really everybody else I look at, and I wonder, is that turnaround coming? Like, we know Lindor is streaky. We know Pete Alonso is streaky. We know Brandon Nimmo is streaky. And obviously Juan Soto is going through a good streak right now. Those four guys are pretty reliable, even if you want to rip them for an 0-for-4 last night with Pete, or Francisco Lindor going 0 for Atlanta. Like, those guys will be fine. And that doesn't concern me. But what concerns me is Luis Torrens is the everyday catcher. Mm. Brett Beatty is playing every day, and since this stretch began, he's hitting 167. Ronnie Mauricio is about to be sent down during this stretch, is hitting 154. Tyrone Taylor, who's a wonderful defensive player during this stretch, is hitting 167. Jared Young, who's not a major leaguer, I don't know why he's here, is hitting 118 over that stretch. And I don't know if all of that's going to change. Mm. Like, the bottom half of this order, from 5 through 9, features a bunch of guys who don't have a track record. And so I can confidently tell you, Pete's struggling. He'll be fine. And you know what backs me up on that? His resume and his history and the year he's had. Same thing with Lindor. Same thing with Brandon Nimmo. To a degree, I could say about it at Jeff McNeil, but he's been so inconsistent the last few years, I don't have that same confidence. It's everybody else. And as I'm sitting there at Citi Field last night watching this offense struggle to score, I'm looking at the bottom half of the lineup, which has been abysmal. And it's not just the anger of the now, it's the anger of what does this look like 2 weeks from now? Are we confident in the names I just mentioned turning things around? Mm. And the biggest wild card is Mark Vientos.
Right.
Like, they need him to walk through that door and be the guy he was last year.
Yeah,
but if that doesn't happen, then Carlos Mendoza could say whatever he wants after games. He could call people out all he wants. We could sit here bitching about Soto and Alonso and Lindor all we want. There are only four guys in a 9-man lineup, and the five other spots, and I just went through the names, they don't have the track record of turning things around, which is why my flag has been raised.
Yeah.
From, it's okay, it's the ebbs and flows of a season, to, wait a second, maybe they're not as good as I thought.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it feels that way, because the Braves aren't, or at least haven't been that good, except for when they're playing the New York Mets. And now they're, 10 games behind the Mets, and 9 or so, whatever they
are. 9 behind the Mets.
9 behind the Mets, 10 out of the top seed, or the top in the NL East. And so part of this is what we feared before the first series with the Braves. That is, the Braves are your kryptonite, and you're allowing them to get back into the division race. You're jump-starting them because you're scared of them. And I wonder if that's, I can't believe that is a player thing. That's got to be just a fan thing. The fans don't believe that the Mets can beat the Braves, and so there are kryptonite, just like the Houston Astros were the Yankees' kryptonite for all those years. But why does that permeate itself into the clubhouse of the New York Mets?
I don't think that's it.
I don't think it is either. But why is it this? Why is it this way?
They've struggled.
Why is it the Braves, who were, don't forget, 2 weeks ago, 15 games out?
Well, the answer to that is I think they're playing the Braves at a time in the season in which they're struggling, the Mets, that is, because they didn't hit in Philly either outside of the breakout on Saturday, and they struggled against Tampa Bay too.
Yeah,
I think it's just the inconvenience of playing the Braves at this time. I don't think that last night at Citi Field, the Mets wilted at the Braves logo. I don't think that's what it is. I think this is just an offense, and maybe this is my comeuppance as a Met fan, who's having to realize that this lineup is not as good as I thought it was. And the reason it's not as good as I thought it was because Mark Vientos was a complete zero, who's now injured.
Yep.
He'll be back in a few days. And the rest of the lineup, whether it's Torrens or Beatty or Mauricio or Taylor.
So we know what the issue is, so what's the solution?
Unfortunately, there is no solution right now. Right now, on June 24th, there is no solution. Mm. I'm telling you what I think the problem is and why my yellow flag has been raised. But you're not making a big trade on June 24th. We can start talking about trades, and there will be ones to be made in a month, but it's not happening today. And they've tried giving young guys an opportunity. Brett Beatty's failed. Ronnie Mauricio's failed. It doesn't mean I'm giving up on Ronnie Mauricio, but in terms of the right now, he's failed. His chase rate is ridiculous.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin. At arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Like, Mark Vientos has to come back and be a superhero. So when you ask me, all right, Evan, you're bitching, you're whining, the bottom of the order stinks, sure, you're right, what are you going to do? Right now, the only thing you can do is hope that Mark Vientos walks through that door and is the guy he was a year ago. Because I don't expect Luis Torrens, who's a fine fielder, to all of a sudden hit 350. I just don't, I mean, why would we expect that?
Right, but so the question then becomes, if Mark Vientos isn't that, what does Carlos Mendoza do? Because at this point in the season, or these lulls in any season, and really any sport, it becomes the head coach's or the manager's job to make something happen. The question is, how do you do that?
I don't think there's really much you can do. I mean, you could shake the lineup up as much as you want. Right now, they've got basically 44% of this lineup is either a major question or a zero.
Yeah.
Like Tyrone Taylor and Luis Torrens are defensive first players. We know it. They have a track record. They may get hot for a week or two, but their records are what their records are. And the young guys that they have given opportunities to have failed. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm getting nervous. And so, really, what's the solution? The solution is they got to survive this stretch until either Mark Vientos comes back in a Superman, or until there are able bodies they could acquire at the trade deadline, which unfortunately is still over a month away.
Yeah, but think about what you're saying. Mark Vientos played 50 or so games before he got hurt, and he was hitting 230.
I understand.
So you're it's almost an unrealistic cape that you're asking him to wear.
He did have a very good year last year. He also hit big home runs in the postseason.
Of course he did.
I think that's a more realistic cape than asking Tyrone Taylor to all of a sudden become an offensive force. He's not. His entire career has shown you that. I think it's more realistic than expecting Ronnie Mauricio, who missed an entire year last year, to all of a sudden hit like it's AAA.
Yeah.
So while it may not be realistic to you, it's certainly more realistic than the other options they have right now.
But it also feels desperate. It also feels like you're asking a young player who's only 25 years old to step back into the lineup and be a hero. And I don't know if that's suited for him. If he comes and does it, fantastic. He'll be lauded. You know, we'll talk about him and give him all kinds of kudos and praise. But it's unrealistic that that's going to happen because he wasn't that before he got hurt this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the challenge for the Mets, forget the Met fan for a second, the challenge for the Mets is that they're pressing. Like, they know that they're a good team, but they're pressing because they think they're supposed to be great. And so instead of doing the average things really well, Francisco Alvarez, before he got sent down, just ball gets in the dirt, stop it, right? Don't let it go under your glove and get to the backstop and give up a run. It's little things. Francisco Lindor, I mean, how many times? Double clutch the other day. Was that yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Double clutch when whoever was rounding second, and he kind of just be decisive, right? It's little things that ultimately have cost this Met team in close games, wins and losses.
But you know why those little things are even more important? Because they're not hitting. They're not scoring runs. It's unrealistic to win games the way they did the first 2 months of the year where their pitching was outstanding. Mm. Like, yesterday was such a weird
case. But if
case.
That's who you are, that's just who you are.
What do you mean?
Meaning if we kind of got a little bit, I don't know, hefty or fat off of winning games weekly and meekly. It's not like they were scoring 10 runs.
No, they weren't. They were never the offense we expected them to be, but there was a hope that eventually they would turn into that, and if anything, it's gone backwards. They're scoring fewer runs now than they did over the first few months of the year where they were winning games.
Yeah, so now it was all on pitching because top ERA, starting ERA in baseball, one of the best team ERAs in baseball, your bullpen, which had been sketchy a year ago, was actually really good. Edwin Diaz is back to being Edwin Diaz. Like, all of these things were the MO for winning. And you expected the bats to come along, but it doesn't seem like they're destined to come along.
Well, they've also gotten worse.
Well, they've gotten worse.
Come along. Like, I expected them to come along during this 10-game stretch. They're far worse. Well, if you take away the outburst on Saturday against the Phillies, they're scoring 2 runs a game.
I agree, but you expected to get better with players who aren't proven commodities.
You know why I expected them to get better? I feel like I have to defend myself.
Because they're young and up and coming. Yeah. Because they were prospects.
Yes.
You have high hopes for.
Not just prospects.
They've shown flashes, all these other things.
Well, no, not just that. Mark Vientos had a really good year last year.
Of course he did.
The
but
expectation.
He had a really bad start to the season.
No, I know that, but I'm explaining why I thought this offense would come along. Obviously, it didn't happen.
Right.
It hasn't happened to the point where I'm looking at this lineup wondering if it's ever going to happen, but I'm at least explaining it wasn't like pulled out of one's ass. Like, Mark Vientos had a really good year last year. Who sat here and thought he was going to struggle the way he did? Did you? I didn't hear you say that.
Don't
say it now on June 24th.
I did say you're going to need another bat.
Well, you did say that.
And the reason was because...
Well, that you're right about.
Look, this is different than my hate of rookies in the NFL because they just don't get it. Like, they don't understand the physicality and the grind of playing 17 weeks in the NFL. Now 18 weeks in the NFL. So you know why I hate rookies.
Yeah, yeah.
But in baseball, it's different because the process of getting there is much more extended. So you should have a little bit of an awareness about the daily grind that it is to be a Major League Baseball player. But until you see it, until you experience it, not just for a season or half of a season like Mark Vientos, but for the entirety of a year, and you start to say, you know what, I can trust that kid. I just don't trust those kids.
No, you're right.
And then at the same time, you get some of these older players just not aging out, but just becoming a little bit less reliable.
But there's a difference between Vientos taking a step back, which I did honestly expect,
right,
versus Vientos falling off a cliff and then being on the injured list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a far fall off. And I remember saying this back in March about both the Mets and the Yankees, which was, hey, when you think back to 2024 and why they had success, a big part of why they had success is there were young players who stepped up in a big way.
100%.
In the Yankees' case, it was Austin Wells and Luis Gil. And in the Mets' case, it wasn't just a veteran like Iglesias having a great year. It was Mark Vientos.
Right.
Well, as we sit here in late June of 2025, specifically looking at the New York Mets, they have gotten nothing out of their young players. Mm-hmm. And that is a massive disappointment. It starts with Vientos going backwards. It continues with Beatty, who gives us a little bit of a sign of life, but mostly has underperformed. It continues with Ronnie Mauricio, who has done nothing. It continued before that with Luis Angel Acuna, who when given the opportunity didn't hit. They have gotten nothing out of their young players.
Yeah, and Alvarez, so, too, you didn't mention.
Thank you. That's right. A big one. In fact, that may be the biggest one.
Of course it is.
Francisco Alvarez.
You thought he was a cog.
You're right. So, when you add all that together, as we diagnose why this offense hasn't been what I thought, maybe some Met fans thought, that's your answer. But now that we've diagnosed it, you sit here on June 24th and say, okay, how's it going to change? Because the one thing that's tough to rely on is winning games 3-2 and 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Because while the pitching can stabilize, and I think it will, with Sean Manaea coming back, and we'll see about Frankie Montas tonight, it's tough to pitch to the level they pitched over the first few months of the season. So they have to hit. And here's the thing about the big four. Because I heard Sal earlier, and he even said it to me as we were coming on the air. He's like, oh, you're going to kill your boy Pete? Look, Pete Alonso hasn't hit. If you want me to kill him by saying over this 10-game stretch, he's hitting 205 with a home run and a 570 OPS, I'll do it. Those are the numbers, and those numbers suck. And last night he was 0-for-4. But it's unrealistic to have expected Pete or anybody to carry the offense all year. He had a great start to the year. He is struggling now in June. Will he eventually have to heat up? Absolutely.
Right.
But right now, it's also the fact that 5-9 does nothing. That's a big part of it. So I understand that there are going to be ebbs and flows of a season where Alonso struggles, where Lindor struggles. Lindor did nothing in Atlanta. He went 0-for-11.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have to, and we all have to understand that even the best players are going to go through rough stretches. That's the ebbs and flows of a season. But you have to overcome it with other guys stepping up. And over that same stretch where Pete has done nothing and the Mets have gone 1-9, I just gave you the numbers of 5-9. McNeil, 152. Torrens, 158. Beatty, 167. Mauricio, 154. Taylor, 167. Jared Young, 118. Bro!
That's almost, it's unfathomable.
That's unfathomable. So, yes, I'd love for Pete to get hot again, and they're going to need him to get hot again.
It won't
they
matter.
Need Lindor to get hot again, of course. But they need some guys outside of the front four to perform.
Right. It doesn't matter. Even if those guys are performing, they can't do it on their own. It is ultimately a team sport. And while I realized it was bad, I didn't realize it was that bad.
You like those numbers?
No, I hate those
numbers.
Well,
you hate those numbers, but you like that I supplied them for you, right?
Yes.
The only guy, and these are the numbers through the 10-game stretch where they're 1-9. There are really three players in this lineup that are performing. Number one is Juan Soto. And here's the juxtaposition we have with Juan Soto. Juan Soto hit a home run that brought the Mets off their death mat last night. And then, yes, when he comes up in the eighth inning with two on and two out, I believed in my stomach, this is his moment. I did. I wasn't negative, Evan. I was positive, Tommy. I believed that Juan Soto was going to bank a three-run home run off a sign in deep right field. And he struck out.
Right.
And I can't kill him for it because that's baseball. And Dylan Lee threw a hell of a 3-2 slider, and Juan Soto over this stretch has a 1,000 OPS. So it would be unrealistic and unfair for me to just bash Juan Soto. But the only guys who are hitting are Juan Soto, Brandon Nimmo, and a little bit of Starling Marte. Outside of that, nobody's hitting. And some of it, like Lindor and Alonso, are the ebbs and flows of the season. But 5-9, I don't know how that's going to change. And that's why my hazard flag is at yellow, which means it's not full-blown panic, even if my voice sounds like it's shaking right now. It's a yellow uh-oh. It's a yellow uh-oh.
Something's not quite right.
Where's your flag?
For the Mets?
Are you at red?
Of course I'm at red. They've lost 9 of 10.
You're at red?
9 of 10, and they're getting punked by the Braves. Again, this feels like a story that we were telling 3 years ago that you were supposed to be passed after you get to the NLCS and your team is remade and Steve Cohen takes on a different mentality as opposed to going and getting these old you know starters to try to just power you through and get that elusive championship. It's a different mentality. It's a different president and David Stearns. And yet the same you-know-what is happening.
Mm.
So, yes, I'm on a red if I was a Met fan.
You're at a red.
You have to be. You've lost 9 out of 10.
I'm out of yellow. Yeah, I thought I'm being realistic. I thought I'm being calm.
You are being realistic, but I think the reality is it's much more red than it is yellow.
You think Tommy's going to surprise us and be at red right now?
No, Tommy's positive, Tommy. Negative Tommy's dead.
Okay.
Well, except for in Bad Tiki's world, but negative Tommy's dead.
So that means you're not even at a yellow flag, Tommy. You're at a green, calm, the waters are perfect. Jump on in.
There are no sharks. There aren't even any jellyfish in the water. Feel free to run in there. There are no hazard flags up at my beach.
I kind of hate both of you right now.
Why?
Because
we're at the extremes.
Yeah, like,
and you're being reasonable and you hate being reasonable.
I'm the reasonable Met fan. I'm the regular Joe who's sitting here saying, hey, here's what I'm concerned about. I'm not fully panicking. And I got the two devils on my shoulder.
You know what did it for me?
What?
Carlos Mendoza.
Why? Because he called guys out?
Yes, because no, you don't do that. You don't do
nah,
that.
Nah, but he's always been honest. He's honest about what's going on.
He's been honest, but you don't do that. We're not at the All-Star break, Evan, and he's calling his guys out. Now, what happens if they don't respond? What, are you going to call him out again?
Yeah.
Hey, you already did that. Didn't work the first time. Why do you think it's going to work the second time?
If they don't respond, then the season's going to spiral out of control.
Exactly.
Because then a 10-game stretch turns into a 20-game stretch.
You've set up the spiral. That's the problem. You've already set up the spiral.
I don't know if I agree with that.
We'll see.
But I don't like the fact that I got the two devils on my shoulder. I got Tiki, who I think is ultra red and negative right now. Like, up, the sky's about to fall. And then I got Tommy, who's like, nothing to see here. He's like Baghdad Bob. Like, what are you talking about? We didn't get bombed.
Well, we don't.
There may be fire behind me, but you don't see that, do you?
We don't have to break down every single loss, but let's just go with last night. Schmackabacher always pitches well against the Mets.
What'd you call him?
Schmackalocker. He pitches seven innings against the Mets every single time, so you go into those games knowing he's going to bring it. Acuna is the best player in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to look over at the other side and go, the Braves' record is misleading.
Stop right there. Here's where I disagree with you, okay? Where I'm going to give you a little bit in this, and then I'm going to fight you. Okay. Not fight you as a friend. Paul Blackburn last night puts the leadoff man on in the first inning, the leadoff man on in the second inning, mm-hmm. the leadoff man in mm-hmm. the third inning, and somehow escapes with a 4 2/3 three-run performance. Not good, but also not a disaster, right?
Right.
Yeah. And the Met bullpen somehow does a great job making yeah. the big pitch when they have to keep them in the game. Soto, one big swing, despite doing nothing against Schwellenbach. They're in the game 3-2, and they've got...
Oh, that's how you say his name.
Schwellenbach, yes.
Yeah, I
needed to at least say it, right? So now you've got Schwellenbach out of the game, and you've got your guys up, top of the order, against Raisel Iglesias, who lost his closer's job with a 6 ERA, and then eventually Dylan Lee. You're in the Brave bullpen. One guy who lost his closer's job, and another guy in Dylan Lee, who we're not confusing with Billy Wagner in his prime.
Nobody's pitched great.
With some 2 ERA, though.
He's been fine. Right. I get it. In that spot, you win the game. Like, I get the Blackburn stuff. I get the Schwellenbach stuff. In the eighth inning on, like, the ninth inning actually bothered me more than the eighth inning. Soto strikes out. Okay, he's human. How about in the ninth inning against Dylan Lee? You have Pete Alonso, who looked like he had never seen a slider before, striking out on four pitches. You had Jeff McNeil attacking the first pitch. Did I hate that? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't admit that right now.
Sean.
And then you had Tyrone Taylor grounded out. Like, that moment, the last two innings of this game, don't give me Schwellenbach. Don't give me Blackburn. Win the game in your own building.
Right, and it's what they did a year ago.
Yes. Spin that, Johnny.
I'll give you the positive Tommy spin. At this point last season, what was the Mets'
don't
biggest...
Do that.
I don't even want to say it in light of all the injuries.
Don't
what was
do
their
that.
Biggest issue last year, the Mets?
The biggest... I don't
the
remember.
Bullpen.
It was the bullpen. Thank you, Tiki. And I would say at this point, the biggest issue for the Mets is hitting with runners in scoring position. Positive Tommy believes that's going to turn.
Okay, but here's
they
the problem.
They're going to
here's
start the getting the big hits.
Here's the problem. I said that all year. All year I said, hey, mm-hmm. you know, you keep getting traffic on the base paths.
Right.
Eventually you will come through. Even the Yankees, when we get to them later, yeah. the Yankees were 0 for 12 last night. If you continue to give yourself opportunities, you will come through. You know how many runners in scoring position opportunities the Mets have had the last two games? Four. In the last two games. The problem hasn't been just lack of clutch hitting. The problem is they're not hitting. And period. 5-9, I don't know how that's changing in a dramatic way. That's what's deeply concerning, or at least yellow flag concerning about this
offense. Well, you have to, if you're David Stearns, you have to see if any one of these kids are going to hit, whether it's going to be Beatty, if you bring Alvarez back up, Mauricio, Vientos when he gets back, and if they don't, guess what? You got to make trades, right? Don't you have to bring in veteran bats? Don't you have to give depth to this lineup? You have about a month before the deadline, so I feel like you have two bites at the apple there. Either one, two, three of these kids are going to start to hit, or you have to start making moves because this team is a playoff team. They have to be aggressive if they're not getting hits from the bottom of the order.
We'll get to your calls coming up. I am at the yellow flag of my concern is rising. Tiki is panicking. And Tommy says, what are you talking about? It's not 105 degrees outside today. It's 75 and sunny. We'll get to your calls. We'll get the temperature of the Met fan at 888-808-1019. And last night, the Yankees lost to the Cincinnati Reds. But Aaron Boone, see, Sean will like this. Aaron Boone did something that pissed me off. He did something that really angered me. So I'm taking Aaron Boone to the woodshed in the next 15 minutes. I enjoy this really, really hot weather because I love seeing all you pigs out there like Sean Morash, who was praying for this weather, begging for this weather, demanding this weather, and now they got it and they're a little hot. This weather sucks. We all know it. This is the worst, the absolute worst. Tiki, can I tell the people what you did earlier today?
Of course.
Tiki did a Frank the Tank walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see when that's posted. But it was 115 degrees outside.
I literally had sweat dripping down my face from 2 minutes in till the final 10 minutes.
It had Frank hold up?
Well, he had a hat on. I didn't have a hat. So I'm bald. I'm attracting heat. sweats just dripping down my face.
And from the windows to the walls?
From the windows to the... No. It's not what it's like. Don't get me in trouble. But it was fun. It was just hot, dude.
It's hot, man.
It was fun, though.
Very, very hot.
He talked to all Giants. He did not want to talk Mets.
No, I can't blame him. I can't blame him.
He really, really dislikes Jared Young.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
well,
really, really dislike.
Well, he's not alone in that. I mean, Jared Young, who you guys make me feel bad about because every time I rip him, he hits a miraculous home run. Jared Young, for the most part, is not a major leaguer, and yet we're force-fed him every day. And that's a part of the problem. A part of the issue with the Mets, the rising issue with the New York Mets, is this lineup, which was supposed to be good, which I thought was going to be good, right now, 5-9, is a disaster. And unless they're getting multiple home runs from the top of the order like they did on Saturday against the Phillies, they are not scoring runs. Hence why they lost 9 out of 10. We'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. And in the next 10 minutes, I'll take Aaron Boone to the woodshed because there's something he did last night that I thought was a major, major mistake. And I'm curious if the president of the Boone hating club, Sean Morash, would agree with me. Or maybe we're going to reverse roles today. And he's going to say, actually, Boone was right. Let's kick it off with Paul in Newark, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Paul.
How you guys doing? You know, I'm an avid Mets fan and never been more frustrated. I think Kiki's right. I think they're pressing. This has been like a whole team slump. From Soto getting stuck between the bases, hitting the ball off the wall, not running till the ball hits the wall. Pete stretching a single into a double with the two worst slides I've ever seen in my life. He's true. Swinging at the low outside slider again, which he was laying off for a while. The pitchers are walking everybody and their mother. Even when they take a lead into the eighth inning, the bullpen blows up. There's a big black hole at the bottom of the lineup. They haven't had a DH in 4 years. They need a couple solutions. They need two hitters that can hit, I say 300. That's unrealistic. 270, 280 to be on base. What's going on? Toto's getting hit. They're walking Pete. And then what do you do? Nothing after that.
And that's problem. I mean, right. We've gone through it. Yeah. 5-9 is a giant hole.
Right. Even if Soto has great days, it's not quite the judging thing from a couple years ago when if he didn't hit, they didn't win or score at all. But it's getting kind of close.
Well, over this 10-game stretch, I saw Anthony DeComo put out this number last night. Juan Soto has driven in 27% of the Met runs during this 10-game stretch.
Mm-hmm.
He has hit. He's been productive, but he's been one of the few guys that have been productive. But more so than looking at Pete and looking at Lindor, who will hit, we all have confidence of that, it's are the lack of production that they're getting 5-9 going to change? And as he was talking, he did give me a really good idea. I think I have a good idea to help turn this thing around.
Right.
But I'm going to keep it in my head for a few more minutes.
Okay.
And then I will let you know. And I think you're even going to say, Evan, that's a damn good idea. Let's go to Ray in Waterbury. Hey, Ray.
Hi, guys. Great show, as usual. Appreciate Here's it. The thing. Kiki's right.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin. At arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
All we heard was Tiki's right, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yes. Well, again, for those who missed it, what I feel, everything Evan is saying is correct, but what makes me a little bit more worried than Evan is the fact that Carlos Mendoza feels like he has to say something. When you're this early in a season and you're calling out players, maybe it's going to have an impact publicly. You can probably do it. You can do it all you want privately, and nobody knows about it. It's held inside the clubhouse. It's whatever. Your ears to your ears. Nobody else is fine. But when it's publicly calling out players, if they don't respond, what do? Like, there's nothing else left to do other than, I don't know, make an example out of somebody. And I kind of feel like they tried to do that with Francisco Alvarez, but that was really just a defensive regression. They couldn't keep him out on the field. So, like, what's next if this doesn't work?
Lineup changes.
And what specifically?
I've got a few.
Of course you do.
I gave one to Carlos Mendoza during our special, Rico. I told him I'd lead off Juan Soto. Mm. I'd go Soto 1, Alonso 2, Lindor 3. And that goes to the idea that plopped into my head. What did our first caller say about Pete Alonso? He's flying out the slider low and away. Yeah. There is no reason to face Pete Alonso right now. Zero. And I was actually saying this a lot early in the season when Pete was off to the great start. I'd openly criticized the opposing manager saying, what are they doing? Like, why would you face Pete right now with Jeff McNeil on deck? Why would you face Pete now, even with Brandon Nimmo on deck? And I never understood it. And I think what we're seeing right now, which is sort of contributing to Pete's slump, is that they're not giving Pete Alonso good pitches to hit, and why would you? Why the hell would you?
Yeah.
The guy had an MVP start to the season, and there's nothing behind him. And when the Mets first got Juan Soto, this goes all the way back to spring training, I made a point. And I even made it to Mendy. He disagreed. I said, I want to hit Alonso second. And most people scoffed. But the reason I wanted to hit Alonso second was I put together a list that I will gladly bring back. It is a list of the absolute trash that's hit behind Pete Alonso for the last 6 years. Like, it is names that will make you blush. Pete Alonso has gotten no protection for 6.5 years. So my simplistic brain thought, hey, you know what? Juan Soto's pretty good. How about you hit Pete second so you actually give Alonso protection?
Right.
Then,
instead of doing it the other way around, which he doesn't need.
Right.
When Juan Soto was on, he doesn't need protection behind him.
Well, and also, I don't think it matters who's hitting behind Juan Soto. They're not giving him great pitches to hit no matter what.
Right.
And so it's up to him to take his walks, which he does. And when he gets a great pitch to hit, go hit it. So now we flash forward to now, where Pete isn't showing that great kind of patience that he showed over the first few months. And you start to say, oh, what's happened? Well, part of what's happened is, why would you face Pete Alonso? So the lineup change I would make, I hate to go back to the beginning, is, can you give this man some protection? Can you do that? So whether it's...
Right, there's nobody on the roster to do it.
Well, there is.
Other than Juan Soto.
And Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, if you want Lindor, you got to leave it.
I'll give you two options. You guys tell me which one you want. If you want to take Lindor out of the leadoff spot...
No.
Okay. Let me just say it, then you can reject it again. Soto 1, Alonso 2, Lindor 3.
No.
No, you say no.
I like Lindor leading off.
Mendy basically said the same thing.
Yes.
Tommy, you like that or no?
No, I want Lindor leading off.
Totally fine. Offer number two. Mm-hmm. All right? Lindor 1... Lindor 1, Pete 2, Soto 3, Nimmo 4. And before you tell me, oh, but there's back-to-back lefties, give me a freaking break. You think a lefty matters against Juan Soto? I know he struck out last night to Dylan Lee, who's a lefty, but overall, it doesn't really matter. My point is, don't you think that would benefit Pete Alonso just a little bit?
Oh, of course it would, because he's going to get pitches to hit.
Okay, here you go. I think that's a good idea.
But, Evan, you've been the one to tell us how batting first or second increases how many at-bats you get in a year. Don't you want Juan Soto getting all those extra at-bats?
That's why my first idea was Soto hitting first. Was it not? And then these two rejected it. They both said they didn't
like
it. Because
we like Lindor first.
Yeah, well, I think that's the negative taking.
It's hard not to like Lindor hitting leadoff.
No, no, because he's done so well at it. Plus, he can steal bases. Yeah. He's faster than Soto. I get it. And there is no perfect answer. In all fairness to your point, Sean, of course that's a great point. Like, I have made the case I want my best hitters 1, 2, 3, and I stand by that. We're having a conversation, though, about what can you do besides sitting here and hoping things are different. And I'm just saying that I think Pete is suffering from the fact he's not getting pitches to hit.
Yeah.
And having Jeff McNeil's protection is basically like not wearing anything. You know what I mean?
I understand. No hoodie, no visor. I get that. I would say Pete Alonso is one of their best hitters, though, and was their best hitter for most of the season, at least to start. It was on an MVP level. So him getting more at-bats, and when Alonso's struggling, he's expanding the strike zone. And he won't have to do that when Soto's behind him.
So you like my idea is what you're saying?
I don't like it. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
I liked it earlier in the year, but when the manager basically, you know what, slapped you, I was like, all right, Mendy, put Evan in his place. Did you bring it up to him on Saturday?
Yeah. Here's the problem. I like Carlos Mendoza.
Do you want me to give him his number? You call him.
Here's the problem with Carlos Mendoza. He'll never admit this. He's a very honest guy. He gives great answers. Sometimes he'll get away from the answers when he doesn't want to give an answer. I don't think Carlos Mendoza will ever do this because of me, quite frankly.
No,
I think in the back of his mind, he's like, I don't want to have to go back to Evan and Tiki or the Rico and have to see that guy say, I told you.
Right.
But I told you back in March.
But you know what, Evan? If it works, why not?
I agree.
Who cares whose idea it was?
I'm with you.
It doesn't matter who gets the damn credit. Does it work? Yes. Let's go.
So you guys are all on board with flipping the lineup a little bit to give Alonso protection. Now, this doesn't solve the issue that they've got nothing 5-9, but it does give Pete, in theory, more pitches to hit, which right now he's struggling. Again, during this 10-game stretch, he's hitting 205 with a home run and one RBI and a 570 OPS. That ain't good. John is in Bayonne. Hey, John.
Evan, I got to say one thing. Saturday was a great day for me listening to the fan. It started off with Joe Beningo because he got me on Moment of the Day, and I thanked him for it. And two is he got his fourth hole-in-one.
Yes.
It's 4-1. Is that amazing?
What's so amazing is Joe will always say, and he has said it to me, he said it on the air, that he's not good at golf. He always says that. And yet, he's accomplished something that most really good golfers have never accomplished.
If you can throw par threes close to the hole, then that's good golf.
Yeah.
Because that's golf.
That's what I'm saying.
That's basically your short game. If you have a good short game, you're good at golf.
I think Joe B has to finally admit something, and he'll never admit it because he's a humble guy. Joe has to admit he's good at golf.
Well, the problem why he won't admit it is because he doesn't get off the tee and hit like 260 or 280.
Right.
And if he did that, he'd be parring an eagle or maybe have eagle shots every now and then, but he doesn't.
But four hole in ones.
He's saying he's not good at golf because he's not long off the tee.
Well, listen, we all can't be long off the tee.
I'm just telling you.
All I know is he's good at golf.
But he's short in the game is obviously on point.
Damn right. All right, what else you got, John?
Ben, you on your podcast was great.
Appreciate it.
And it came down to it. I think you should have Mindy on every day with your podcast, and maybe he'll break the jinx and they'll start winning because the only game they won is because of your podcast.
That's true. Oh,
that's a good point.
That's what I got to sell to Carlos Mendoza. Listen, the one time you've won in a week and a half was the day you went from Philly to New York back to Philly to talk to the Rico.
Right. Hey, Mindy, we only need you for about 8 minutes. Come on, Evan and Tiki, every day.
Every day for 8 minutes. There was a time on WFN, I swear to God, back in I think it was 1990, 1991, where the manager of the New York Mets did a daily spot with Mike and the Mad Dog.
Is that right?
Not a weekly spot, a daily spot.
Huh. And how long was it?
Probably 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, but that's pretty extensive.
That's extensive. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm wrong about the year. I think it was 1992 with Jeff Torberg, where they were the worst team money could buy. Could you imagine talking? Talking to the manager of a crappy team every day?
No. No. And him lying to you?
By the way, here's my analogy for Joe. And I'm curious if Joe would agree with this. He has four hole-in-ones. That would be like, if I take Joe at his word that he's not good at golf, because he has always said that to me, bro, it's like terrible, all this. That's like, name a crappy pitcher in baseball. Just name one who would be like, he stinks.
Alan Wynans.
Well,
that's not fair.
That's not fair because he has to be around. Like, he continues to pitch every 5 days. Patrick Corbin.
Okay.
Is that a good one?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Corbin's been around. He's had some success, but mostly stinks. If I told you, like, every year Patrick Corbin threw one no-hitter, like every year, a complete game no-hitter every single season, wouldn't you eventually say, well, that's pretty good? I mean, that's not bad. Like, you've got to be good to do it. You do it once, okay, you're lucky. You're Chris Heston. You're Bud Smith. It happens. You do it twice, it's like, whoa. You do it three times, there's a trend going. You do it four times, obviously you're good at this.
Right.
So the whole Joe hole-in-one thing leads me to believe.
It means he has a good short game.
I still don't know what that means.
So it's within 120 yards.
So like mini golf.
Ish, but not really, because you're not putting. It's a short iron.
Well, you're not hitting the ball that far.
Yeah, you're just trying to use your hands and softly get the ball to land close to the hole and stay close to the hole.
Gotcha.
So if you're hitting hole-in-ones, which are mostly par threes, you know, I'm sure someone has done one on a par four these days because people can drive par fours, but you know what I mean. Like, it means you have a really good short game. He has a really good short game.
Damn right.
There's no way you get four holes-in-ones if you suck. It's not luck. So Joe B's got a good golf game.
He's got his game, man. I'll come back and tell you why I think Aaron Boone really screwed up last night. Plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. A edition of Posted and Toasted coming up at 3:30 as well. And who the New York Knicks are now interviewing for their head coaching job should actually excite you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.